One version that I read said, devote yourself to prayer. I like that version. I like those words. It doesn't just say continue in prayer, but it says devote yourself in prayer. In 1981, March the 7th to be exact, I devoted myself to this lady up here on the front row through a ceremony we call marriage. And I said that I would chase no other women, that I would look at no other women, that there was never be another woman in my life like her. I devote my life to you. For the rest of my life, we didn't know how long we were going to go. We didn't know, we still don't know how long we're going to live. But until our dying days, we both intend that we're going to devote ourselves to each other. Now that is the same word that one of the passages use in this. See, I think that we have I think every one of us, when we hear that the preacher is going to preach on prayer, we automatically get a little, oh no, don't preach on prayer. Please don't preach on prayer. It convicts every one of us. And every one of us usually is guilty. We don't pray enough. Right? I just want us to know how important it is to Jesus. Jesus was a man of prayer. Many, many times in Scripture, when you study the Gospels, you'll see that Jesus slipped off by himself to go pray and talk to the Father. And I always think of it this way. If Jesus needed to pray, how much more? I think how much more does Treva need it? But I mean, no. How much more does each one of us need to pray? I mean, Jesus was God, right? He was fully man, fully God. But he knew he had to talk to his Father every day. He said stuff like this, I don't speak one word that my Father doesn't give me. Do you know why he could say that? Because there was not a day that he wasn't seeking the face of his Father to get those instructions. Guys, there's not a person in here today that would dare say, not a word ever comes out of my mouth that's not godly. God would strike you dead right here in this place. We can't say that. Why? Because there's a distance sometimes in our relationship with him. Now, that distance that we feel is not his fault. It's our fault. Because we're not devoting ourselves to pray. I read something 20, 30 years ago that the average pastor in America prays 8 minutes a day. I'm telling you, that hit me like a ton of bricks. I wasn't a pastor back then. But I thought, if the average minister is praying 8 minutes a day, God help this nation. That was about 30 years ago, and look where we're at today. But then I read something just this week that said the average, they take polls on everything. The average Christian in America prays 5 minutes a week. 5 minutes a week. And Scripture tells us, pray without ceasing. We are supposed to walk in an attitude of prayer. And I like that, and I want, we should do that. But today, that's really not what I'm going for. I'm not really saying just walk around in that spirit of praying. I'm saying you need to have a time and a place, an appointment with the Heavenly Father every day. Because I'm going to tell you, whether you're a preacher or pastor or whether you're a plumber, the day has a way of slipping by us if we don't set an appointment with God and keep it. Yeah, thank you, one person. I'm starting to feel like I'm the only heel in the place. Every one of us can pray more. The word prayer is actually, I think it's proshush most of the time in the Greek. And it means up close and personal. And this devote means to lean forward in an intimacy close contact with the Lord that does not give up. Intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Intimacy, I like this definition, is into me see. If you want to be intimate, you're asking Jesus to look into my heart. Into me see, Holy Spirit, so I can come clean with you. You know, we wear masks all the time in the church, don't we? We wear masks with each other. And if you're not careful, you can wear a mask with God. Now, you're not fooling him, but sometimes we think we are. We think that he doesn't really see us, but he does. He says, in this prayer, be vigilant. Be vigilant. And he always says, with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving should always be a major part of our prayer. God, I'm thankful for what you're doing. I'm thankful, even when I don't fully know what you're doing, I'm thankful that I believe that you're still moving on my behalf. In Hebrews chapter 4:16, he says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in our time of need. What is that? That's prayer. Do you realize when you pray, you are entering spiritually, you're entering heaven? You're coming before the very throne room of God when you pray. You know, sometimes we make statements like this. Well, I would pray, but they just hit the ceiling and bounce back. No, they don't. You're wrong. You know what you're trained to do? We are trained to go by our emotions. We're trained to walk in feelings. And Scripture says you don't walk by feelings, you walk by faith. So you got to change the way you think. You must change this attitude and this thought process that when I pray, God hears me. Why? Because my prayers are going before the throne of heaven. When we pray for the sick, I envision ourselves going right into this throne room and placing people right there in front of him and saying, God, these people need a touch from you. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that he says it's a throne room of grace. You know, a lot of people think God's throne room is a throne room of judgment. But it's not a throne room of judgment. It's a throne room of grace. Do you know God wants you there more than you want to be there? You know, he stores up your prayers. Isn't that an amazing thing that God could store up our prayer? So I want to ask you a few questions today, and then I'm going to answer them for you. Isn't that what all preachers do? We question you and then tell you how to think. Why don't we pray? Why don't we pray? I believe this. I believe that we really don't think it's all that effective. You know that I have found that I get more accomplished on the days that I pray than the days that I don't pray. I have the same feeling that you do. I get bombarded sometimes with so many things that I need to get accomplished that I'll think, Lord, I just don't have time to stop today. Guilty. But you know, the truth of the matter is if I put him first, if I just stop and say, God, I am really busy today, but I'm not too busy to spend some time with you. I need you to lead me and direct me. Your prayer is a whole lot more effective than what you can only imagine. The second reason I believe that we don't pray is we think we can figure it out. Lord, I got this. I was going to ask you for your help, Lord, but hey, I got it. Woo, we're in dangerous ground now, right? Pride is all over the place. Oswald Chambers, you guys know that name. He said this, we get distracted from God. Isn't that true? But the next words is what got me. We not only get distracted from God, we get irritable with him. While he continues to say, look to me and be saved. Our difficulties, our trials, our worries about tomorrow all vanish when we look to God. God answers our prayer. He doesn't answer them on your timetable. And oftentimes He doesn't answer them the way you think He will. His way is higher than our way. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. I just want to assure you, He hears them. And He does not ignore them. Prayer is simply communication with God. It's just talking to God. I used to know a young lady. She had been a mess earlier in her life and got saved. And man, she just had a closeness with Jesus. And every day she would take a walk. And as she walked, she would hold her hand out like this. And she just believed that Jesus took her hand and would take that walk with her. And while she walked, she looked a little strange because she talked, you know. She talked to the guy holding her hand that nobody could see. Today, that's not all that strange. You know, no matter where you go, you see people talking to themselves, right? It's because they got that phone bud in that ear. How many times have you answered them? You know, I have answered people. No, I don't know what's going on. They'll look at you like, what are you talking about? I want you to know it's communication with God, but it's divinely spiritual. You will not get more spiritual than prayer. You may not feel one thing. You may never have a goosebump. The hair on the back of your neck may not stand up, and that does not matter. I'm telling you, prayer is spiritual. It's communicating with Him, and it is effective. James chapter 5, verse 16, one of my favorite verses. The effective fervent means glowing. That does not mean loud. Pentecostals, we think God has a hearing aid, right? God's partially deaf, so we have to make Him hear us. God's not deaf. He hears a whisper. How many of you have almost had an accident in your life and all you could say was Jesus? Jesus. That is a prayer God hears, right? And He responds. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplished much. I want you to know you are that righteous man. And you may be saying, Pastor, you don't know me. You're right. I may not know you. And that has little bearing on what I just said. You are still the righteous man. Why? Because of what you do? No. Because of who you are. Because of whose you are. You see, you don't stand in your own righteousness. Because Isaiah said our righteousness to God is like filthy rags. We stand in the righteousness of Jesus. The blood of Christ shed on that cross now covers us. I'm not righteous because I'm good, because I'm not good. I'm righteous because Jesus was good. Amen. And don't eliminate that prayer for you. Don't say, well, that prayer is not for me. That was for Elijah. I got news for you. Elijah put his pants on the same way you do. Elijah was a man just like us. He got mad. He got glad. He got depressed. He got happy. You get it? He was not perfect. He was a mighty man of God, but he was a man just like you. It's what Scripture says. I'm not making this up. Until you begin to see that your prayer can be effective also, you're not going to pray. Why would you waste your time? If I don't think it works, why do it? I'm about to get that way with dieting. They don't work. Just give me a big plate of food because it doesn't matter. Prayer is sacrificial. It takes time. I deny myself because there's always something that we could do. But prayer is sacrificial. It takes time and it takes great amount of focus. How many times have you ever been trying to pray? What happens? Did I leave the stove on? Dear Jesus, I ask you to be with my kids. Wonder what my wife is doing right now. Did I get the oil changed last week or do I need to? You'll have 1,000 things run through your mind, right? Do you think that's a coincidence? The devil doesn't want you to pray. He will make you think a thousand things to keep you off your knees. We say that a lot of times, right? Like the only way you can pray is on your knees. Guys, some of the best prayer time I've ever had is when I'm driving down the road with my eyes open. Thank you, Jesus. I literally have felt God move into the seat next to me. I have just felt His presence come in so mighty. Sometimes I like to just go out into the woods and pray. It doesn't matter whether you're standing or kneeling, whether your eyes are open or closed, just pray. Just call on the name of Jesus. But you do have to harness your thoughts. John 15:5, we quoted this last week when Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. I like to separate that word nothing. Apart from me, you can do no thing. No thing. You know what? I need His help. I need His help pastoring this church. I can remember having small children, and boy, did I realize that I needed His help raising three little boys, and then three teenagers, and now three older people. Much older. I still need His help. Prayer is petitioning God, but it's much more. In Matthew chapter 7, it says, ask and it'll be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock and it will be opened to you. The actual Greek would say something like this: ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. So we don't pray one time about something. We continue to come before the throne of heaven and make your petitions made known. Sometimes we'll say, you know, sometimes that's all prayer is for us. I want you to know it's all right to petition God, but prayer is more than petitioning God. Prayer is just getting in His presence. Let me tell you, sometimes prayer is being totally silent. Sometimes you just get in His presence, you talk and you talk and you talk, and then sometimes you just say, okay, God, I'm going to be quiet. It's your turn to talk. I want you to know He'll talk to you. God will talk to you if you'll just shut up. And that's hard for us to do, right? I'm preaching better than you're shouting right now, I'm going to tell you. God doesn't like showy prayers. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, He says, when you pray, not if you pray, when you pray, He says, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corner and on the street, that they may be seen by men. He said, assuredly I say to you, they have their reward. If you're praying because you like the sound of your voice, if you're praying to impress somebody, you just got your reward. Don't pray to men, pray to God. Now, sometimes, most people don't like to pray out loud. Would you say amen to that? Most people don't like to pray out loud. By and large, prayer is not out loud. It's mostly for your closet. But there will be times when you need to step up and pray. There may be times when you need to pray at the restaurant where everybody hears you. God, save the waitress. Sanctify the cook, Jesus. But you need to let the Lord lead you on that. God commands us to pray. In Luke, when Jesus was sharing a parable, He said, I would that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. I like those last words, not lose heart. You know, it's easy to lose heart in prayer. It's easy because I went to church with a lady one time when I was just a kid, 8 or 9 years old. That lady's husband wasn't saved. She prayed 35 years for him to be saved. And at the end of his life, he gave his heart to Jesus. Do you know how often she probably could have lost heart in those 35 years? You know, if I was the devil, and I am not, but if I was the devil and I could feel that you were getting close to answered prayer, I would pour it on right before the answer come. I would try to discourage you, distract you, get you to lay down your faith in any way I could. I would make my final push would be at the end. I don't believe that the devil knows the will of God, but he's been around a long time. And I think he knows when things are fixing to happen. I think he reads the atmosphere sometimes. Prayer connects us to God. It's like a spiritual umbilical cord. You know, that baby grows all because of that cord connected to its mama. Everything that baby needs is coming through that umbilical cord. And until they deliver that baby, if that cord gets broken or severed in the womb, that baby could die. That baby has to be delivered then, right? But when he's born, they sever that cord because he begins to get his life force from elsewhere. We have an umbilical cord, a direct connection to God Almighty, and that's called prayer. You are going to... This book is extremely spiritual, and you are not. The Bible says that we have carnal minds. Now, they're changing, thank the Lord, right? I hope that you say, my mind's not carnal. Well, it used to be, but the Lord is doing a transforming work in your heart. Why? But because of the Word of God, He transforms us. But it takes prayer to understand the Bible in the way it's written. Have you ever read the Bible and thought, I didn't understand one word? I don't know what that was all, what they're talking about at all. You might try praying before you read. Just saying, God, I'm getting ready to open your word. Would you help me understand today? Prayer is a sign that you recognize that you're in a battle. A lot of Christians don't understand that. The day that you got saved, you enlisted. You are now in God's army. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Whether you know it or not, you've got a target on your back, and the enemy will begin to shoot darts at you all the time. In Ephesians chapter 6, he says, finally, brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He does not say be strong in your might. He says be strong in his might. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. How do you do that? By putting on the whole armor of God, that you may stand or be able to stand against the wiles, better words, schemes of the devil. In other words, the devil has got a trap set for you today. I promise you. You may not see it today, but there's a trap that he has got placed for you ahead of time. And if you'll pray, the Lord will show you that trap so you don't fall prey to him, the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, powers of darkness, right? But then the last verse, verse 18, he says, praying always. Praying always. Praying always. Not praying once in a while. Not praying on Sundays only. Pray hit and miss. Pray if you feel like it. I never feel like praying. Paul said, I beat my body into subjection. Prayer is spiritual. I am not. So therefore, I make a discipline to pray. I make an appointment with God. I seek the face of God whether I feel like it or not. That has nothing to do with it. Praying always. Seek the face of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. pray in faith. I believe with all my heart, the way I see things is sometimes God's hands are tied until you pray. When we pray, I believe that we're untying the hands of God to get involved in our life. A lot of people says God will do what God will do. No, that's not true. God will not violate His word. He says, you have not because you ask not. I don't want to be guilty of not asking. Right? I want to ask God. God, whatever you got in store for me, I know it's good, so I want it. Sign me up. Put me on every list, God. It's like if it's free, you better know I want two of them. 1 John 5:4 says, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked for. 15:7 of the book of John says, if His words abide in you and you abide in Him, you'll ask what you will and it will be done. Hallelujah. Now it started with an if, and that's a big if. If His word abides in me and I abide in Him, I can ask what I will. Why? I believe that God puts His desires in our heart so that we will ask. Hebrews 11:6 says, for without faith it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. Why would I pray if I don't believe that there is a God in heaven? It takes faith to pray because I believe He hears me. I believe the eye of the Lord is looking upon us and His ear is turned towards their prayer. I believe that. I've settled that in my heart. I no longer say, well, I'm not sure if God heard that. Listen, if it come out of my lips, I believe He heard it. Amen. That He is a rewarder. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Not hit and miss. But diligently seek Him. I believe that we are to pray in the name of Jesus. John chapter 14 verse 4 said, if you ask anything in my name, if you ask, because there is no name like the name of Jesus, is there? Don't pray in Buddha or Muhammad or even Eric. You pray in the name of Jesus, let it be so. I'm telling you, I think when we call upon the name of Jesus, sometimes on Saturday night when we start praying, I'll just tell Treva, sing something, sing His name. Let's just take a few moments and sing the name of Jesus. You say, well, that sounds boring. It may sound boring, but I'm telling you, it's powerful. When you just start calling on the name of Jesus, I'll tell you, when you have no other options, you get desperate for a move of God. You begin to say, Jesus, I need your help. Jesus, come into the scene. I have so many testimonies running in my mind of desperate people who called on the name of Jesus and would not give up. I remember my father-in-law. He was watching one of his kids who was going to make a big mistake, and he knew it was a mistake. He was getting ready to marry the wrong woman. He knew it was the wrong woman. He just knew it wasn't right. And they prayed about it, and they prayed about it. And he told me one day, he said, I got in my car, and I drove to church. And he says, I was not going to leave until that prayer was answered. He said, I was there for a few hours. And I felt something break. Now see, this may be totally foreign to you, but if this has ever happened in your life, you know what I'm talking about. There are times in the spirit when you feel it break. One time a good friend of ours, her father had open heart surgery that day. About 2 o'clock in the morning, the spirit of the Lord woke me up. And all of a sudden, all I could do is cry out for Mr. Dawson. I wasn't noisy. I didn't get out of bed. I just remember lifting my hands and saying, God, help Mr. Dawson. Be with Mr. Dawson. I had no idea that the Spirit of God also woke up my wife at the same time. I told her the next morning, I said, I was up at 2 o'clock this morning praying for Mr. Dawson. She said, I was too. I said, about 3 o'clock, I felt it break. I knew something happened. She said, I did too. At 2 o'clock in the morning, they found out he was in bad shape. His heart began to bleed. They had to rush him in surgery. When they took him into surgery, about an hour later, they fixed the problem and he was okay. I'm telling you, God answers prayer. One time my mom got up in the middle of the night. My mom was woke up about midnight one night and she just knew something was wrong. She got on her knees beside the bed and she began to cry out to Jesus for my brother. She didn't know where he was. He was in Bible college at that time, but he had decided to surprise us and come home. He fell asleep at the wheel. He was woke up because he heard a horn blowing in his dream. That horn was the sound of a semi-truck headed directly for him. He ran off into a ditch. He had two other guys with him. They sat in the ditch and cried. That's how close it was. But God woke up a praying mama to seek for his salvation, to seek. Are you understanding me? Don't give up on prayer. God hears prayer. But desperate people pray desperate prayers and God hears them. It's enough of the canned prayers. Now I lay me down to sleep. How about we just get real with him? God, I'm getting ready to go to sleep. I'd like to rest tonight. Would you put your unction on that? The good Baptist brother that meets us on Saturday or Tuesday morning prayer, 87-year-old Jack, he's pastored lots of churches. He talks more about the unction of the Holy Spirit than any Pentecost I've ever met in my life. I'm so thankful it's not a Pentecostal thing. It's a God thing, right? God wants everybody to be filled. Hallelujah. If you woke up, I will finish this thing up. Acts 4 said, there is salvation and no other, for there is no other name in heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The next thing is we need to pray the word. I love this verse. In Psalms 119, I'm skipping ahead of you guys. He says, remember your word to your servant upon which you caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. In other words, what David is praying at that moment, he said, God, you spoke a word to me. And I'm reminding you of it. I don't know if you've ever done that, but I do that often. I remind God of his word. God, you said this. And it's not so right now in my life. I don't feel like it. I don't feel triumphant. I don't feel good. But my feelings has nothing to do with it because your word said this. You spoke this word to me. And it caused me to hope. And I'm not giving up on your word. God doesn't give up on his word. Neither should we. I love praying the word of God. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God. For pulling down our strongholds. For pulling down things that are strong in your life, habits and traits. I'm amazed at people of God that think they can't. They're bound to cigarettes. They're bound to drugs. They're bound to this lifestyle or that lifestyle. I want you to know you're not supposed to be bound to anything other than Jesus Christ. And he can break those things. Isaiah 55. I'm sorry I'm getting so loud. I'm going to tell you, calm down a little bit. Isaiah 55 says, so shall my word be that goes from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I purposed, and it shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. God watches over his word to perform it. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. I've got news for you. This book is in heaven because it is the word of God. It's an eternal book. The book is alive. It's powerful. And if you're not using it in your prayer time, you're missing a very big asset. Use the book. I believe that we're supposed to pray in the Spirit. Ephesians 6 verse 18 says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that end, alert with perseverance, making supplication for all saints. I believe in tongues. I believe God fills people with the Spirit and gives them a tongue. And that tongue is to be used in your prayer closet, because there are times in your life when you're going to face something that you don't even know how to pray for it. And you begin to pray in the Spirit and He'll pray through you. Amen. Isn't that an amazing thing? 1 Corinthians, I believe that praise and worship is a type and a form of prayer. So I don't say, well, I'm going to spend 10 minutes in praise, and then I'm going to spend 10 minutes in worship, and then I'm going to spend 10 minutes reading your word, and 10 minutes. It doesn't. I don't divide it. I just want to get alone with Him, spend some time, whether I'm singing a song, praying in the Spirit, praying in understanding. It doesn't matter. I just need to be with my Father in heaven. When Jesus taught His disciples to pray, He made some pretty important things. He said, pray this. Pray that the will of God is accomplished on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but I sure hope that heaven's a better place than this is. But I know heaven is perfect. I don't believe there's sick people in heaven. I don't believe there's poverty in heaven. So I pray for the will of God that's in heaven to be right here on this earth. I pray for forgiveness, that I forgive others and that He forgives me. I pray that I won't succumb to temptation. I pray for my needs and I pray for your needs. I pray for my children every day. Let me tell you, I don't care how old they are, they're still my babies. And if you're not praying for them, who do you think is? Who do you think is going to pray for your babies other than you? God gave them to you. Pray for your children. Pray for your finances. Pray for your country. Pray for your church. Pray for your friends. Pray for your finances. Pray for your pastor's wife. You'll take it, huh? And don't give up. Don't give up. Hebrews 10:36 says, you have need of patience or endurance, so that after you've done the will of God. What's the will of God? Praying. After you have prayed, you may receive the promise. Between your prayer and the answer is always a space of time. Jennifer said last night in prayer, she prayed for her mom that something would happen, and immediately it happened. I mean, within a day, it happened. That's wonderful, but it doesn't happen that way real often. Most of the time, you're going to wait a little while. And in that period of time, while you're waiting for the answer, it's important what you do. See, at any point, you can lay down your faith. You can say, well, I guess He didn't hear me. Well, I guess He's not going to answer. Well, I guess that something's went wrong. And that is denying your prayer. The most important thing you can do is stand upon the Word of God and don't shoot yourself in the foot. Sometimes you just need to keep your mouth shut. Stand in faith. The last thing is, if you don't set a time in prayer, I promise you it'll never happen. Robert Morse preached this sermon one time, and a guy, a very, very busy guy, he came to him and he said, Pastor, he said, I always like it when you preach. I get a lot from you. He said, But I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. It takes me an hour to get to work. I work about a 12-hour day. Then I commute an hour home. He said, when am I going to take time to pray? And Pastor said, I can't answer that for you. I'm just telling you, I challenge you. Make an appointment with God. That man started getting up at 3 o'clock. Started spending time in prayer every day. He went out and bought a rocking chair, set it on his sun porch, and every day he had an appointment with God. He'd go out and sit in that chair and talk to God for an hour. That man's life began to change dramatically. He was a very successful businessman. And sometime later he came into the pastor and he said, Pastor, I'm getting ready to quit my job. He said, I'm coming on staff here. And Pastor Moore said, we can't pay you. He said, I didn't say you had to pay me. He said, God's been very good to me. And he said, I just know I'm supposed to work for you. After a while, they began to pay him. After a little while, and this is over a period of many years, he said he come back to the pastor and he said, Pastor, God has spoken to me again in my rocking chair on the sun porch. He said, I hate to tell you this, but I've got to quit working for you. God has called me to go out and help a guy in Colorado. He went out to Colorado, again, worked free of charge to help this man get his church started. Some months later, his wife calls the pastor, Pastor Morris, and he says, hey, pray for my husband. He's got cancer. They did pray for him. It didn't go the way they were asking. He died. God did heal him, but not on this side of glory, right? They were beginning to sell some things and get rid of some things of this man. And they saw that rocking chair. And someone said, will you sell that? And his wife said, I'll never sell that rocking chair. Man's name was Tom. She said, you see, Tom's life was changed in that rocking chair. When Tom took the challenge to meet with God daily. If you don't think God will talk to you, you've not talked to him. She said, he became a different man in that rocking chair. That rocking chair will go down in history through this family. It will remain in this family for as long as this family exists. I'm telling you, you may think that you're a prayer warrior. If you don't have an appointment with God, you're not a prayer warrior. You're a hit and miss Christian like the rest of us. You gotta set it, because if you don't set it, Satan will steal your day. And I gotta shut up. You don't realize how hard that is for me. I want the ushers, or not the ushers, but I want the deacons to come forward. Worship team, if you'll come back. We're going to sing that song, God is Good. And if you have a need, I want you to come and stand in front of these guys. Let them pray for you. But also, if you want to respond to this sermon, if you say in yourself, I need to set a time. I need to take this more seriously. Guys, we preach to you on one verse in the Bible. One verse will change your life. Devote yourself to God. Devote yourself to God with vigilance. You must be militant about this aspect of your life with thanksgiving. Now, these guys will pray for you if you're sick in body. They'll pray for you regardless of their need. But if you need to respond to this prayer to say, I need to do a better job of that, would you stand with me as we worship? We're just going to take a few minutes. Guys, you're going to have to pray quick today. But come forward as the rest of us worship the Lord.